feel like I've just held it in for so many years, like undermining me and being condescending towards me and trying to little bro me. And can we even post this fucking episode? Because it's like,
because this is his brother.
Yeah.
Logan talking condescendingly about Jake in Jake's own fucking documentary.
Off camera, he was basically like, no, like I never respected you when we were kids. Like I thought you were a failure.
He fucks your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Where's your breaking point?
Like, I think I'm at it.
Logan has made anything that's great and big for Jake about Logan somehow. One way or another, he makes it about him.
See, now I'm just fucking going off. This is going to be the best episode we've ever had, by far, hands down. And the energy is rising.
Okay, he's fucking tripping.
Yeah, you do. Bring it out. Come on. Your turn, Jasper.
Yeah, it feels
Let's
better.
Get that shit the fuck up, you fucking bitch ass motherfuckers.
Jesus.
What the fuck is wrong with
no,
you?
No.
I'll dog you the fuck out right now. Bring the fucking
can we
smoke,
add,
bro.
Add some DMX?
Nah, turn your shit up.
Is what you hearing? Yeah. Is what you hearing? You know what time it is. Rough Riders Anthem.
Mellow Boys today, man. It's a lot going on, though. You're in some issues, man.
I'm not in any issues.
Well, there's some issues
that are being pushed on to me
by a crazy guy, it seems like, man. I've been reading the comments and they don't seem to on his side.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? You seemed a little down yesterday.
We should give some context. Jake, you were on Impulsive 2 days ago and you and your brother got into a passionate discussion back and forth about some issues that I think you've both been keeping in for a while, and it kind of exploded on the show, and there was a bit of back and forth about some jealousy, about stealing fights, about brand partnerships, and now we're a couple days after that and the internet has reacted, but I don't know if you have, so it'd be interesting to hear what your thoughts are a couple days out from that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's just like all a tough situation because our life is in the public spotlight, and I like don't even want to perpetuate it more and like continue to create turmoil or any like weird energies that are out there. But like then the other side of it is already out there. And then I look bad because of how he is acting, so it looks like I'm arguing with him, but really I'm more so just setting his ego in line. And this is just me being honest, because I feel like I've just held it in for so many years. Like I'm kind of just speaking my mind more so now, and I like the truth sets you free. But I'm kind of more so, I'm not arguing with him. Like, I don't want him to look bad, but he almost, like, can't help himself to look bad. And I think that's...
Yeah, you...
Fuck, bro. I don't even know if we can go here with all this shit.
But the problem is, like, you silence yourself often about it, and you, like, deal with it in real life, and, you know, you try to converse with him. But it, like, leaves it so one-sided and just... gives his narrative like just a one-way fucking tarmac to fly off, and I feel like you don't like shed enough light or like share, you know, your narrative of it or like what it really is.
Yeah, because I think it just makes us both look bad that like we can't, I guess, be on the same page as like brothers. Looking bad makes me look bad. We both look stupid and there's like no point. I mean, and this is what's stupid about it is like, I don't know why he put that out. Like I was telling him and his team, like, why are you putting this out? No one wins here. Then his team is like clapping like, no, this is great content. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know if we can fucking use this. Cause then when I start to talk about it, it just feels like I'm bringing him down, which I don't want to do, but then it's like, don't want to be brought down with him. So it's like, what do I choose? What side do I choose? And then it's like starting to unravel and like reveal itself, and like clearly he has envy and jealousy towards me, and that's what I told him off camera, and he's like, no, but it like everyone sees it. It's like clear as day, and it's like, why? We're on the same team. I'm not in competition with him. I want him to be a billionaire. I want him to accomplish all of his goals. It's him undermining me and being condescending towards me and trying to little bro me and discrediting everything that I do. And
so what makes you so like passionate about just trying to level it out and like not speak on it or like just
because it's his brother.
Yeah.
And like,
and no, like
yeah, but it's like ongoing. It's been years of like you being undermined and it's evident. Like yeah. Everyone knows that, like in personal relationships, on the internet, you can see it everywhere and everyone knows it. And like, you're the only person who doesn't speak. Like you let him win every time.
Yeah, because I don't care enough to like try to prove my point. Like the way you combat that is with like more love. Like you're not like being abrasive towards it and just like creating more. Then this is where this all gets fucked. Is like, dude, can we even post this fucking episode? Because it's like now I'm perpetuating it. But at some point, when am I just a rag doll who's like bending over and like letting him treat me like shit? So then it's like, it's such a tricky situation. And by the way, a public forum is like not the place to handle it. And then that's where I get caught up in the loop.
That's what he loves. Like media is his moral compass. Like whatever is right to the public eye is what he follows.
Yeah.
So like he loves this shit. Like that's the only way you can kind of settle it on his grounds, because you never want to settle it on your grounds. It never settles. It's been ongoing. You say, oh, the way you handle this with more love. You've been giving more and more and more love. Every time it happens, you went from 50% to 60% to 70%, 80%. Now you're at his door with the love, and here you are.
Yep. No, and then it's just me getting, like, taken advantage of. But I think this might be, like, a turning point where if he – I don't know.
Yeah, the whole thing, I think, never should have been a public conversation. It should have been a conversation between the two of you. Like I said, I think this has been a thing that's been bubbling up between you for a while, at least on your side. I think you felt a lot of this for a while. You felt like your older brother was jealous of you. You felt like he always makes things that are about you, about him, and it's bothered you, and you've wanted to have that conversation, and it should have been a private conversation, but now it's a public conversation. And I think that's where it's like, as a friend, when it's made a public conversation, You still chose to take the high road in a lot of aspects. There's a lot of things you didn't say there. And
yeah, because I don't want it to seem like I'm arguing. I don't need to argue my point in case. Like, I let my actions and my love speak for itself.
Yeah.
And, but maybe, maybe it's like what Jasper's saying is like that doesn't get through to him. Yeah. And it hasn't. So.
For me, the most frustrating thing out of that whole conversation for me was hearing him undermine you and belittle you with these snarky comments about we know who the better fighter is. Come on, Jake. Come on, buddy. Come on, little bro. Yeah. We know. And to me, what that reminded me of, I actually had this situation. I'm an older brother. I have a younger brother. And for years as a kid, I unconsciously did a similar thing where I was better at him than a lot of things. And I would take advantage of that. And like, I loved being better and being the older brother. And I always won whatever we were playing because I had certain advantages. And there was like one thing that he was better at than me, and it was video games. And when we would go play video games, he would beat me at video games. And then you know what I would say? I would say, yeah, I wasn't actually trying. And like, I didn't think anything of that until we were a little bit older. And he was like, yeah, that really hurt me when you would do that. He's like, I just love you and look up to you. And even when I would finally win a game, you would have to belittle it or write it off.
It's a very real thing, bro. You have to understand, like, I'm the youngest. I have fucking three older brothers that I lived with my entire life. As a younger brother, it's not my goal to be better than you. I get excited. It's like, holy shit, I did something. Like, you might be proud of me. I just fucking won. Like, isn't that cool? And, like tearing it down is like the craziest thing. Like,
yeah,
for me as the little brother, it's always like team. We did this together. We started our YouTube channel together. And basically, like off camera, he was basically like, no, like I never respected you when we were kids. And
yeah, that's fucking terrible.
And like I thought you were a failure and all this shit. And I was just like, so you didn't even like respect me as a brother because I was always there for you and trained for sports with you and played with you in the woods and built forts together and we were best friends and we survived a traumatic childhood together between our parents, like abusing us, like, but you had no respect for me until I was older and was successful. And then I was just like, I don't know what's going on right now. And now I'm just like lost.
But where's your breaking point? Like,
I think I'm there.
You watch the documentary.
I think I'm there.
You see,
and in the documentary, he was so condescending and still like undermining me the whole entire time.
You get on a plane right after your fight.
Yeah.
And the most wild shit possible. The first thing he says to you as soon as you guys sit down on a plane, I don't know if you want to share that, but personally, I think it's fucking insane. And it's just, yeah. Where's your breaking point?
Like, I think I'm at it. I think it was that. But then it's like, then it's just like this whole fucking loop. Like, I have always taken the higher road in 2017. Always take the higher road. Always don't try to say my case online.
There's some things you can't even say.
Yeah, and he drops diss track and take higher road. He does it, take higher road, take higher road, take higher road. And
he
like,
fucks your girlfriend.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's like, take higher road. Don't expose that. Oh, now he wants to expose it himself. Okay. But I just don't even perpetuate it.
But it's a fucking pattern. Do you not realize?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think I'm at the breaking point.
Imagine a person like, being so sociopathic.
I hate this shit.
That like, they're like, fuck it. I'm going to tell the world this I is fucked not all my worth. Brother's girlfriend. Like, yeah. That's insane. The media is his moral compass. Like
compass,
him,
compass,
fuck you. Even like him, I see him in the gym bi-weekly. Like he'll be in the gym once every 2 weeks.
Fuck, bro, we can't. Are we really doing this right now?
Well, that's this whole thing feels wrong. It feels fucked up. That's what I'm saying.
It's unrealistic.
I don't like sitting here, shit talking to brothers. You're brothers at the end of the day, and this whole thing feels wrong. But it is public now. It's been made public. I don't know how you
people
navigate
don't see
this.
How you react in private,
especially when you have a private conversation with him after, and it goes terribly.
Yeah, it's like it's yeah.
And really how I feel, like I don't know if this is out of line, but like I feel really if you're really just the better fighter and you're just little bro and really Jake, we know I think you should get
you could go
to Puerto Rico and spar right now.
No, we can see how that goes.
Because I think it's fucked up.
No, don't need to do that.
Yeah.
No.
But
that just shows the separation between you guys. It's like in his mind, like, oh, I would love to fight him one day, and in your mind you literally never want to fight your brother. That's not an option in your mind that you would like to choose not to.
Well, I think Logan said together. He didn't want to fight Jake, but it's just interesting to hide behind, we know who the better fighter is, buddy, but I'll never fight you because I'm your brother and I love you so much. But we know, buddy, who's the better
he
one.
Fucking,
that's convenient.
He hates it.
Yeah. And
did you see that picture of when you won your fight against Nate Diaz and everybody's cheering and Logan's sitting there? He looks like a supervillain. Like this, once again, this feels fucking weird because we go back to Puerto Rico and we see Logan every day. This like, I don't know, bro, but like, did you see that picture or the video?
Logan, yeah, I didn't think it was real. But it's like, it seems fake, but it's not. There's like a video of it too, and I just don't get it. I just can't believe it. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
True.
It's really weird.
Because even in private, like you speak so highly of like what you guys, like what you want you guys to do, and your plans, and like even just exciting things that you want them to be a part of. Like when you talk about like your ranch, you're like, oh, me and Logan this, me and Logan that, like everything, you involve him in every single fucking thing you can possibly.
I think the reason I've created like our brotherhood and like having these friends around us because I yearned for it. And Logan has even said it, what, you always have people around. You always have so many people around. It's because I was like so lonely as a kid and I never had like the brother that I wanted. And so like I found you guys. No. And it's like that's why I like have so many people around. It's because it's like this brotherhood that I so deeply yearned for as a kid and like never had anyone to play with, wasn't allowed to like hang out with him and his friends, and I would just like ride my bike around the city like asking kids to hang out because I like wanted that like person. And that's what bothers me so much today is the fact that we started all this together as like a team, and we like now don't do really anything together, like actually it, in terms of like business or building something together. I think that'd be like the coolest thing in the world is to like have some sort of company or something with him. And I've tried so many times, but
you start something good and then he like creates war within it. It's like you guys buy a warehouse together and you like hang up a Better flag because that's a company you fucking own. Now there's a Barstool flag right behind it. You fucking put Problem Child in the ring and now there's fucking Prime and UFC in the ring next to it. Like
yeah,
ironic. Like it doesn't make sense.
And that, yeah,
the room upstairs that nobody sees at the warehouse has nothing Logan related. You go downstairs in the room that everyone sees and everyone's filming, there's a picture on two to three pictures on every wall, every fucking corner of the room, that just have you get your newspaper hung up, like that you got as a fucking gift, with all the articles on your accolades. He hangs one up literally right next to it, like gets it made in it. Like
what's the takeaway from all of this? Like
the takeaway is don't be famous. And fame and money is the root of all evil, actually, is the takeaway. People get lost.
But you guys are so far past, like, the...
But when you're so deeply, like, hurt and traumatized and, like, you have such a big void of validation, nothing can fill it.
But, like, you've hit every...
That's why you find the pinnacle. Unhappy billionaire. Such a common theme.
Should we just go broke?
I'm thinking about it.
Let's all just go broke. You know who we just fucking spent some time at Danny's ranch, Danny Duncan. We flew over there. I honestly love how he lives. Like, yeah. It's fucking insane. Like, he's the most down-to-earth person I've ever met in my entire life. Like, from
super dope guy.
Like, I can't believe it. I woke up thinking about it. It's so fucking remarkable how he could be so, and his work ethic is insane. Like, it doesn't make sense when you see how he lives and like how they all carry themselves versus his work ethic when you see online and his videos. It's like remarkable.
Yeah, like, money actually changed like nothing about his life.
Nothing at all. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. And Cody as well, Whistling Diesel.
Fucking great. Two spectacular dope young guy. Men. I'm very proud of them. Endlessly proud.
Made two new friends.
They yes.
Yeah.
Love you guys. And you definitely deserve every fucking thing you have.
Yeah. That was so much fun to just like be a YouTuber again for the day.
Yeah.
And just like let loose, fuck around. It really like brought back this like old nostalgic joy.
I feel like like Danny's at peace. Like he found peace.
For sure. And that town is like so cool, just fucking around every single day. I want to do more collabs with other like YouTubers and just like do more fun things. I feel like I've missed it. It's been like out of my life. I just like I've only focused on boxing, and I realized that's like such a big part of what I initially loved to do, was just like be around other creative, funny ass people who love to do crazy shit.
It just got oversaturated. Like, and at the time,
yeah,
when you were like taking a step back, it was like a bunch of social climbing. So I understand it, but like, and it's hard to find people like this. Like, it's very slim to none, and a chance of finding like two people who are just as like grounded as they are. It's like oftentimes it's like the fakest, weirdest relationship off camera. And on camera, it's like some fucking, I don't know. Like, it's draining. It's definitely taxing.
It didn't feel like forced at all. Like, from the moment we, like, pulled up, and even meeting Cody, like, everything was just, like, super, it clicked super well.
They're like, I love
the threesome you didn't know you needed, the trio.
They're so fucking awkward in person. That's when I first met Cody, we, like, just had, like, a separate conversation. He didn't even know how to, like, properly shake hands, and then he, like, grew into comfort. That makes me happy. Like, when you see, like, a sporadic-ass weirdo with a camera, and like the first thing they do, they're just fucking Tasmanian Devil Wild. It's like, oh, this guy has no soul.
Right. Are you gonna take some more time for stuff like that? No, we're a few days out now from your fight, and you had said you're gonna take some time for yourself. Where's your head at, first of all, I guess, with the fight, now that you've had some time to digest everything? How do you feel?
Rear view.
What's your takeaway, and then also what's next?
Yeah, very, very, very happy with the fight. Like, an amazing event. So much has come out of it. So much love, support, good things. Everyone on the business side, we absolutely crushed it. It's looking like 500,000 plus pay-per-views.
Congrats.
Biggest gate. And that's U.S. pay-per-view, so like it means more because it costs more in the U.S. So massive number, massive success. There's like statistics that show the Google searches from that night. We were like number one most search Google trend by like 10 times. Trended everywhere. Jeez. Just biggest gate, biggest ticket sales, biggest sponsorship. So
Drake, it sounds like you need to come over to Better Pitch.
Yeah. Man.
It's a seat for you right here, baby.
Download Better. but yeah, just great. And happy with my performance, happy with my cardio. The new team absolutely crushed it. And having so much confidence moving forward. And I truly showed myself what I'm capable of coming back from a loss on the biggest stage and just going 10 rounds with the dog, walking the dog, putting him on a leash. And yeah, I'm hungrier than ever, man. Just That's like good. Wanting to take some time because I've been going hard for 8 months straight. Not sure what's next, but had a meeting with Nikisa this morning, and we went over a couple of different options of different routes and paths to go next. And there's a lot of like interesting things on the table, but I'm going to take a couple more days and really like digest things. And we've just been going back to back to back. Music videos dropping out. It's probably already out by now if you haven't seen that. Podcasts, Impulsive, Mike Tyson, business meetings, Better stuff. This just going nonstop, brand partnership meetings. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's been a whirlwind. So I haven't been able to like digest everything that's happened in the past couple of days, but I'm feeling really good about things.
In a weird way, that's what happens after fights. Like, it's supposed to be your time to relax and collect and take a break, but then you win a fight and everything starts coming to the table. So you have to take advantage of that. You have to take those meetings and it ends up being
Yeah, you actually get like way busier after the fight. When like you're expecting it to die down, you actually like have to step up to the plate and like do even more things. Yeah. The hardest part's answering all the fucking text messages.
I don't know how you do that.
Have like 200 more to go.
It's very commendable because like you haven't had a single break literally from January to August. Like after you lost the fight, you literally the next day flew back and started working out and just stayed on it. And I haven't seen you out the gym for a day doing fucking 2 days. Like,
yeah, the last I've only taken these 3 days off now.
You were eating Doritos yesterday.
Doritos like, at like 3 a.m. Like, and I felt guilty. I was like what am I doing right now? And then I was like, nah, like I need to eat some fucking Doritos.
Last night you were also talking about like your ability to showcase your technical advancement in boxing and how you saw some people saying that they didn't see as much improvement as they expected from you. And you were explaining how against Nate Diaz, you don't necessarily get to showcase technical boxing improvement.
He's not a
fighter that you technically box against. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Like, if you're going in there against a really sharp boxer with, like, a high level of thinking, boxing IQ, it turns into this, like, chess match. And both people look really sharp and composed, and it looks more of, like, this art, and it's fancier and the higher technique. But when you're in there with a dog and you're just punching the shit out of him and he's not going down and he keeps on coming forward, it turns into just to a brawl. And who wants it more and who's punching harder and who's throwing more punches? And it's going to be sloppy against the MMA unorthodox fighter. But I think the people who like really see it, they see my left hook develop, first time dropping an opponent with a left hook, highest punch count, average 50 punches a round, balance, footwork, speed, body shots, combinations, moving on the outside, more feints, and then just not slowing down, my foot on the gas the whole entire time.
And you ain't throw an overhand right?
Yeah.
Not one time.
Yeah. He had a high guard, so it was more going to the body because he was blocking the shots up top. And it's funny, bro, like people think they know about boxing, and like someone specifically like that I know DM'd me and was like, yo, like why weren't you throwing the overhand right? And it's like, what, like, people think they know about anything to do with boxing. It's like, guys, come on now. Like, if his hands are up like this, where is the overhand right gonna land, guys? Okay, welcome to the first grade. That's gonna get blocked up here. So what's open? Oh, look, it's the body. Like, people are just like trying to like send tips and shit after the fight. It's like,
the discredit is my problem though, because like, if you were anybody else on this fucking planet, anybody, if you were doing what you were doing in the last 3.5 years, 4 years of learning how to box from literally fucking ground zero, like if you compare your first fight to your current fight, everything has improved. Your competition, your skill set, your knowledge, just all of it. And it's like,
yeah, but look at where the discredit is coming from. Like,
yes, no, right. But like, what the fuck doesn't click for certain people? It's like,
I wonder what doesn't click when they see, when these people that have these things to say, whoever the fuck they are, wherever they are, when they see professional fighters praising your performance, when they see professional fighters saying nothing but good things about your performance, do they feel dumb about the fact that they're saying the polar opposite? You know, like,
who's praising?
They don't, but dumb people don't know they're dumb. That's the problem.
It does. If one of the,
it's like a serious, if one of the really the biggest problem in America.
One of the idiots who typed out these comments, whatever the fuck they're saying, took 2 years of their life training for just to fight Anderson Silva. Just take 2 years of your fucking life, 365 days straight. Dedicate that to fighting Anderson Silva. He's going to fucking smoke you. You take 2 years of your life, a year of your life, 6 months of your life, whatever the fuck, however long you want to take to train, you go fight Nate Diaz, he's going to whoop your fucking ass. You go fight Tyrone Willie, he's going to whoop your fucking ass. This, like, people don't realize, and then I'll say something like this, or you'll say something about it, and people be like, oh, they're glazing. You don't fucking realize this is all within a span of 3.5 years that this man has learned how to wipe out a fucking professional, a legend of a combat sports. Like,
well, and just going 10 rounds in my 8th pro fight, which the only other fighter to do that is Tyson Fury, but that's after 40 amateur fights. Gervonta having 200-something fights before fighting in 10 rounds.
In 10 rounds and 8 like, fights, bro.
It's unheard of, but people just don't even want to give that any credit whatsoever.
It makes people, like, sick to their stomachs. Like,
yeah, they don't want to hear it.
Like, bro, it doesn't matter how you slice it or dice it. Nate Diaz is a fucking legend, bro. That man is a dog. He's a zombie. He can't get put down.
I will say this is where the Jack Harlow line comes in, and it's the ones who hate me the most look just like me. And it's typically, when I see the people who are hating on me, it's typically someone who's around my age that's a male that probably I make them, like, feel insecure or lesser than because they wish they could be doing what I'm doing. But you don't see the older generation. They respect it. They realize how hard it is. Even the younger kids are like, this is amazing. Look at him. I'm supporting him. Best boxer Absolutely. Ever. It's literally the most hate, I believe. And what I see comes from like a 28-year-old male who probably feels belittled by him realizing he's like sitting on the couch at his mom's house or some shit and he can't accomplish what I did.
Yeah.
Do you ever care to showcase more of your life? Because no one sees that you're in the gym twice a fucking day, working out and working hard and like doing everything possible to be the best you can.
It's a never ending game though, to try and combat all that. Like that's a never ending game to try and prove to the world, you know,
yeah, that, I well, know, that's why I was hoping the Netflix doc would have more of, like, the actual training behind the scenes. It didn't really, like, show the rigorous routine. It kind of, like, just skipped over it. I didn't show, like, how I got this good because that's what people don't realize is, like, there had to be time, effort, and there's no shortcuts in boxing. You literally can't shortcut it. You have to do the thousands of repetitions and the sparring.
10,000 hours.
But they'll see, I guess, eventually, or I guess the results can just speak for themselves. But I'm more so in a game right now of proving to myself what I'm capable of and proving myself right. Because now it's to a point where I saw the first ever, not first ever, but one of the first tweets ever from a super respected boxer, Oscar De La Hoya. He was now the first one to put out the narrative that agreeing with me that I will be fighting for a world title. Because I think after he saw the performance going 10 rounds, 500 punches in 10 rounds, which is more than Canelo's last fight, average punch per round. And now I think people were like, oh my God, he went 10 rounds. Oh my God, he looked really good. Oh my gosh, what could he look like in 3 years? Which is when I'm saying 2026 is when I will go for the world championship and contend for a world title. I think this fight did something to make people like finally realize like, oh shit, like he wasn't joking. And I think people were thinking that I was maybe just saying it for like marketing or to like create hype. But I think maybe now they realize that I'm being dead fucking serious.
The problem is I don't think people understand what like manifesting is. It like blows my mind. Like when you mention someone like Canelo or like a big fighter that one day you want to fight, or like you believing that you could knock out fucking Mike Tyson, whoever the fuck. It's like when you're young and you say, oh, I'm going to make $1 million one day. Like, have you said, did you not say that when you were young?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But the biggest thing is when I was getting 70,000 views on YouTube and I wrote in my shower, I, Jake Paul, will become the biggest vlogger in the world. And then the other one said, I, Jake Paul, will average 15 million views a day on YouTube. It seemed impossible, but then you just fucking do it.
That's the thing.
And I literally got to that and became still the world's biggest vlogger in the history of YouTube. No one will ever beat it. No one will ever beat my average daily view count. Cemented as the GOAT, the greatest vlogger in the history of YouTube forever. And yes, I'm being a little bit braggadocious right now because I don't do it often. And I'm often like not proud of myself, but that one I'm proud of. And
why are you not often proud of yourself?
Indoctrination from my dad.
That's so terrible. You yeah, like have if, a lot
if,
of trauma.
If you can't even make your own parents proud as like a kid, even when like I would win the tournament, it was like, oh, but that wasn't good enough. So it's like you can't ever even be proud of yourself. So you have to like flip that around. But I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. It's what made me great because I just have like went like life's a bitch, life's tough. So yeah. Whoopty fucking do. But yeah, like manifestation is where we're going. So it's real. It's real as fuck.
It's very fucking real.
As long as you like put in the work, and that's what the missing piece of the puzzle that like people don't realize. They think they just like say it out loud. I will do this. I will do this, and then they expect it to happen. But you have to. The goal, the sacrifice, has to match the goal.
Right.
And if it doesn't, then of course the manifestation is not going to work.
Question, you and Connor had a little back and forth on Twitter the past couple of days.
A little back and forth?
I want to talk about that, but then I also want to ask on top of that, which direction are you going with this? Because Connor is an MMA fighter. A lot of critique online has to do with you losing to a boxer, then going back to an MMA fighter. Next fight, do you want to go back to a boxer? Do you want to rematch Tommy? Do you want to go to another MMA fighter?
I want professional boxers. Right, it's only been 3.5 years. You can only make a certain amount of fights happen. And the plan was always to fight Nate Diaz after Tommy Fury, win, lose, or draw. Want Tommy. And people think there's like this like ducking of professional boxers. It's simply time and creating it. I think the next fight could potentially be a professional boxer. Worse, yeah, to the drawing board. But like, guys, please, like, one ass, take it easy on me. I'm just getting fucking started. I'm 26 years old. Like, well, it's but- 8 fights, and like, I can only make so much fucking happen, and there's only so much I can do, and I have the goals. And originally, all of this started was to squash beefs. I started boxing because of shit talk. And to beat people up who were shit talking.
Yes,
and
but
so
you
I had
also,
to squash the beef with Nate Diaz while he was out of his UFC contract. So,
but you also throw yourself into the deep end with claims, and you do say things like, "I'm going to be a world champion."
Exactly.
One day.
So I'm with going.
That being said,
why can't I'm going
like,
to be? I'm going to be. So that's what I'm saying. It's just like time, if I've proven anything, be a harsh critic on me. I say crazy shit. If I've proven anything, it's that I continue to raise my level of opposition and continue to challenge myself and continue to do things like going 10 rounds. I'm going to get to the highest level of competition, and I'm taking it step by step and making the right decisions and challenging myself at the same time. There's a reason people tune in. There's a reason why these fights sell hundreds and millions of pay-per-views, because people don't know who's going to win. They're not going to tune into a fight if they know I'm going to win.
I think it's fucking insane that like someone like KSI can like fight a bunch of journeymen and then like still even feel in his mind that it's a conversation.
No, like, but he doesn't. But the thing is like in his mind it's a conversation. But like he doesn't sell pay per views. He doesn't sell good pay per views. And like you look at the views of all of his last three fights, like the re-uploads of them combined, it's less than my last fight because people don't really care. Like
what are the numbers?
He's a big star. He's a big star in the UK, but like he doesn't move anything in the US and just does not actually sell a lot of pay-per-views.
What numbers of pay-per-views does he sell? Because that seems hard to believe.
He sells like 100,000.
No.
Yes.
No.
What fight was he doing that?
He sells the last three fights. He sold 100,000, then like 150,000, and then like 200,000.
With him on the card, or just like his Misfit shit?
No. Him on the card.
It's interesting.
And the people like to like talk about the success of Logan versus KSI, one, which is in terms of like typical boxing, it's still great numbers, but like it was still only 300,000 buys at $20, which isn't a lot.
Where is this 2 point something million?
Like, if you do the math on that, it's like, in terms of regular boxing, it, sure, it's great, but like, they're acting like they're running around God. 300,000 buys by $20 is $6 million. That pays for like the cost of the event. Congratulations, you broke even. Whoopty fucking do. You want a cookie?
KSI said that there's an 80% chance that he doesn't fight again after this Tommy fight. Did you see that?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's whatever he wants to do. Like, I believe there's beef between us still to settle. I want both fighters, win, lose, or draw, either one of them. I want to fight KSI. I want to fight Tommy Fury. And I think it needs to happen for the culture, all of them. But, yeah, of course, he can do whatever he wants. I'm going to focus on becoming a world champion, which I've always said. KSI was always like, oh, my end goal is Jake. My end goal is Jake. And to me, it's like a side quest. Like, yeah, there's beef there, but like I have my vision set on a much bigger picture.
He doesn't realize he's chasing you around.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why he says it. Like, he tries to play these like games to like make it seem like, oh, like he needs to like come and chase me around.
No,
and, like,
he's literally chasing you around. Like, he's everything he's doing is like out of fulfillment, like for something that correlates with you.
Little kid trying to like impress an adult.
Yeah, it's not like him on a journey that he cares about. It's like him doing something out of spite for something that correlates
with you. What do you mean? Like, for example, what is he doing that makes it seem like he's chasing Jake around?
Boxing in general. He's like, oh, I'm gonna fight Tommy Fury, then I'm gonna be the A side and I'm the big fish and this is your worst
and
nightmare.
I get to do what I want and then I'm gonna retire and be like the legend of the space and shit. And it's like, congrats, buddy.
Like, you're in a war with yourself.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, like, coming back full circle, lots of psychoanalytical similarities between him and Logan. Lots of them. When you read into it, lots of them. Lots of sociopathic tendencies.
Shane Dawson
picked the wrong Paul brother to fucking interrogate. Needs to run it back, Shane Dawson.
Because we just came back to that briefly. What's the next like course of action for you and Logan? Do you sit down and have a fucking dinner and figure this out?
He needs to go do ayahuasca like three times. That's not like I'm being serious. Like, what? That's the only answer. Like, it is like,
y'all about to go out like the island boys.
No.
Damn. Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because he needs an ego death. Badly. And I think that's the only.
Do you feel like you had an ego death?
During my spiritual ceremonies?
I'm talking about just in general. Overall, as a man, as a growing man.
Yeah, I think boxing gave me an ego death. I came into it like thinking I knew it all, had all of this confidence, and thought I was going to be the best overnight. And I realized like how big my ego was. And when these like boxers were beating my ass when I first started, and that's where my ego death came from, was in the sport of boxing, in the gym. And I had to learn respect very fucking quickly and learn I am a fucking peon now in terms of this boxing shit, and I am starting from fucking scratch, and I should just shut the fuck up and be quiet in the gym and earn my fucking stripes. And that was my ego death For sure.
You just have to be careful with the verbs there. Like ego death. All of our egos are plenty intact, and they're very much there. So a full blown ego death is not what any of us sitting here have experienced. So
meaning, yeah, of course, it's like still there. It just like I guess like a better way to put it is winding it fucking down.
Yeah, it puts your ego in check.
Yeah, exactly. Just winding it down. That's what I mean by ego death. But in my spiritual ceremonies, I didn't really have it. Like, I don't think mine was, like, in a place where it was, like, unmanageable and, like, out of control and, like, affecting parts of my life where his clearly is.
You're about to get beat up by Clarissa Shields.
What do you mean?
She's calling you out all over Twitter, man. She said you're subpar.
I'm going to let Shadeja Green handle that lightweight. Shadeja Green versus Clarissa Shields.
We need that.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah, that's the end of the conversation there.
Absolutely.
The thing I'm most excited about, or it's like right up there with winning, is better reaching number 3 in the App Store. Oh, absolutely, my God, crushing it. Better Picks is on fire.
I need a raise.
Available in 24 states, so people can finally play in the biggest states, California, Texas. The list goes on and on and on of the states it's available in. So check, download Better, and see if Better Picks is available in your state. It most likely is. But crushing it, off to the races, our year anniversary of launching the company, Better Picks is live, crushing it in the App Store, something like 100,000 downloads, putting the industry on fucking notice. And we really are the best app. We offer the best product, the best intuitive design, the highest multipliers, no pushes. I mean, the list goes on and why we're better.
Football season is around the corner.
I just want to say thanks to everyone here as well, because like we've been working so hard, and it's such a great team, a great culture. We're here in this warehouse building this company together, and like the vision and the dreams are turning into reality, and we're actually executing and doing exactly what we said we were going to do and beating expectations in a short amount of time. So congrats to the Better team, honestly.
Yep.
And if you have Prize Picks, delete the app.
Yeah, delete that fucking bullshit-ass app, because you're going to get pushed. You're only going to get 25 times multipliers, and Better's better. Same with Underdog. Like, come on. And we're going to match in your deposits, $100 matching deposits for first-time users. So, yeah, you get free $100 deposit. So
straight out of
go download pockets. That shit, 21 plus. But, man, like, to win the fight, see Better at the top of the App Store, crushing it.
Life's good.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Our views are still shit on this channel, though. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. We gotta
figure this shit out.
Controversy. I gotta beat like an old
man.
Yeah.
You should do that on the show.
If I go to jail.
Yeah, that'll boost the numbers. Yeah. Jasper goes to jail.
Free Jasper. Enter.
Maybe we should bring George Janko on as a co-host.
Wow. Ooh.
Wow.
This is a good idea.
Yeah, wow. Let's do that.
We should do a George Janko episode. Since we're already like, might as well, if we're shaking the fucking pot.
Can I get a pot to shake up?
He's a really sweet guy. He actually called me yesterday just to like check in and talk about God and like.
Yeah, bro. Really, yeah, I'm hard ass. I love the kid. I love the kid.
You dropped a song recently. I don't even know if this is gonna make it in there. That bitch hard.
It sounds like we're
politicking
again.
This is crazy though, because like I've stayed silent on like my support for George because I didn't want Logan to look bad, but now I'm like supporting one of his enemies now, and how is he going to take it? But he's partnered with an enemy. But then, oh wow, like let's flip the tables and see how he likes it, and maybe put him through what I'm fucking have to deal with all the fucking time. How do you like it, Paul?
You're Paul.
See, now I'm just fucking going off.
Go off. Come on, talk your shit, man.
Yeah, because part of me feels like we didn't really say a lot that should be said. I don't know. I feel like we might get to the cut. We can always cut shit out, but I feel like we might get to the cut and be like, damn, wish would have said that. I don't know. I don't. Is Nikise here?
Nikise is not here, but yeah, it's like, and there's so much to unpack, but
yeah, it might be a little too much to unpack.
We could just leave it there, maybe.
Do you think you and your brother will ever fight each other?
No, I'm not fighting him.
Yeah.
He's the better fighter.
So many people like it.
Yeah, but from Jake's point of view, what it feels like, and you're right, it's a great documentary, and it, as a viewer unbiasedly, it's great to watch. But from Jake's point of view, what he maybe won't say is that his whole fucking life, Logan has made anything that's great and big for Jake about Logan somehow, one way or another. He makes it about him. And this is supposed to be Jake's big fucking break where Jake finally gets a documentary about himself. And it's Jake to the world. And this is huge for Jake. And then Jake turns it on and it's fucking Logan. And it's not just Logan. It's Prime everywhere. And it's not just Prime everywhere. It's Logan talking condescendingly about Jake with these snide little comments in Jake's own fucking documentary.
But if it was his documentary, he would have left all the shit in there that made you look wild and would have never said anything about it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I also think, I guess, the stuff with your dad was not really told. I think there were some elements of it that were untold. I just think you knowing your whole true story, there could have been a lot more. And yep. There was a lot that was left out. But that's what happens when you work with these big networks. You don't have the creative control of these things. And yep. Like you said on Logan's, thankfully, we'll be putting out a documentary at some point that will be the whole true untold story of your life.
Yeah.
But at the end series. Of the day, at the end of the day, it still was a great piece.
I think it was great.
So we should go to sleep now.
Yeah, really sorry about this, guys.
Yeah, I truly apologize.
Yeah, we're going to go on vacation and come back with some fucking crazy stories about Jasper, like butt-chugging shit in Ibiza.
Yeah, I'm going home for a week, and I just want to let you guys know I'm putting my phone in a drawer for the whole week, so if I don't respond to you, that's why.
That's dope.
You
that's
won't amazing. Hear from me. Yeah.
I'm going to call your mom. And
that's fine. Yeah, you can call her if you need me.
Okay.
Damn, I can't send you, like, funny memes.
No. No. I love you guys so much, but I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to go in the woods. I want to go fishing and get on a kayak somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the Netherlands doing the same thing, except I'll probably still be on my phone.
I'm working hard, man. It's time. Y'all cussed me out, made me feel like shit, told me.
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of new music coming out. I'm yeah, they shoot
they
more videos.
Have they downloaded your new song, Go?
No,
go.
It's actually going to pop up.
Link in the description. Jasper's new music is fire. And dropping another song, Pink Slip.
I'm dropping
that's that. The craziest one yet. Yeah, God damn it.
Yeah. When is this coming out?
August
17th, it'll be out probably 4 or 5 days after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, stay
maybe
tuned.
It might be out, who knows? But I need you to go download that. Free promo. Nice. Feels good.
BS with Jake Paul. We love you guys. Thank you for watching. Subscribe, comment, like. And remember, get wealthy without being famous.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Don't lose your mind. We don't got a thing. Tell her park it up. Then I'd be poking out them jeans. I've been sparking up. Like the fireworks, I keep the flame. Heard you barking up. It's the wrong tree. I got the strength. Yeah, I'm charging up. They can't keep up. Got them looking drained. Now they walking up. Trying to put the face to the name. I pull up and I skirt and I'm swerving. If a try to holler, she gon' curve him. We came from under buzz like a Persian.